WRCE and 107.7 FM W299CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Protests happening around the country today against President Trump's wave of executive orders and empowering Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, to dismantle federal agencies and the workforce. On Capitol Hill, lawmakers, union leaders, and organizations say Musk's access to the Treasury Department's pay system is illegal. Democratic Congresswoman Madeline Dean.
Do not fatigue. These are not normal times. What is going on is corrupt. It is cruel. It is chaotic. It is lawless. It is unconstitutional. And that's the point.
A court hearing set for tomorrow on efforts to block Musk's access to Americans' data. The White House says American voters want accountability. Aides to Mitch McConnell say the senator is fine after taking a fall earlier today at the Capitol. Staffers say he's using a wheelchair as a precaution. And winter advisory stretching from Nebraska to New England with snow and ice in the mix. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied. There will be an event in Boscobel this Saturday to help raise funds for Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack. Bruce Pitsley is from Boscobel Area Mobile Pack and also the organizer of the event.
Our annual pie auction is coming up this coming Saturday, February 8th, at St. John's Lutheran Church in Boscobel. We will have a soup and sandwich lunch, which begins at 11 a.m., and the live auction for the bidding for the pies begins at noon.
This is the 13th Mobile Pack in Boscobel, which helps Feed My Starving Children.
Feed My Starving Children is a Christian nonprofit organization whose goal is to eradicate hunger and starvation throughout the world, specifically in children. For those who may not be familiar with them, how do they do that? They have food packing events at locations around the country, permanent sites in Minnesota, Illinois, Arizona, and Texas, where volunteers can pre-register for a two-hour shift and they assemble meal ingredients, and that formula is scientifically formulated for malnourished people, specifically starving children. But they also take that same model on the road to events all across the country called mobile packs, just like the one that we have in Boscobel. This will be our 13th mobile pack in Boscobel, and we're really looking forward to it again. Registration for that will open on February 27th.
Everyone is welcome to help support Feed My Starving Children Mobile Pack at the Pie Auction, Bake Sale, and Soup and Sandwich Luncheon this Saturday at St. John's Lutheran Church in Boscobel. The Soup and Sandwich Lunch starts at 11, and the pie bidding begins at noon. For WRCE 107.7 and AM 1450 News, I'm Tim Thied.
The Bucks make a deal. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cusco with sports. Milwaukee is sending Chris Middleton to Washington. The Bucks are trading Middleton and A.J. Johnson to the Wizards in exchange for Kyle Kuzma and Wisconsin native Patrick Baldwin Jr., as well as a second-round draft pick. A pick swap was also included in the deal. Middleton, a three-time All-Star, helped the Bucks win the 2021 NBA title. He signed a three-year, $93 million contract before last season. The NBA trade deadline is tomorrow afternoon. The Bucks take on the Charlotte Hornets tonight with a tip time of 6 p.m. The WIAA has approved a change to its high school football playoff qualification process. The Board of Control voted this morning to create a wins-based metric for teams to get into the postseason. The new setup will also seed teams in the playoffs, eliminating the need for computer algorithms or coaches voting. In addition, the WIAA also expanded the 8-player football playoff field to 32 teams and moved the start of the season up 1 week to match the start of 11-player football. With Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Cloudy and warmer, with a few flurries flying around this afternoon and light snow ramping up this evening. It may mix with a little bit of freezing rain, creating some icy, slippery spots. And snow accumulations look like less than half an inch. Gone by the morning, we'll be battling a windy day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6 rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Imagine home. The smell of coffee, the sound of a lawnmower, the sun's warmth on your face. Free to be yourself, surrounded by love that helps you grow. This is a place to call home. That's an American dream we all deserve. But in 50% of U.S. states, you could legally be denied housing if you are LGBTQ+. Get the facts and hear real stories at lovehasnolabels.com. Brought to you by Love Has No Labels and the Ad Council.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, why did Wisconsin Supreme Court candidate Brad Schimmel use AI to digitally alter a photo of his opponent Susan Crawford to make her look ashamed? If he wants to see shame, he should look in the mirror. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Listen, if it is the new year and you're looking to update your wardrobe, don't worry. Civic Media's got your covered. Just head on over to our website at civicmedia.us and check out the store in the upper right-hand corner. I know you're going to want to get some WAUK 540 AM swag because that's where I come to you from every day, Monday through Friday from 2 to 4 p.m. And we always have real news and a great conversation. Very excited to have a great conversation with my very next guest, State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe. Thanks so much for making time. Welcome to the show, Senator.
Hi, thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. I'm going to admit that I don't think I've met you in person, but I have listened to you before. So I'm really excited to be here.
Well, thank you so much. And I very much look forward to being able to meet you in three dimensions. It is always much more fun. Maybe the next time we can do it in Madison or Milwaukee and we can be together in the same room. But again, thank you so much, Senator, for making time. I wanted to start with this. I know that your profession is as a paralegal. And as most of my listeners know, I am a lawyer. And I just wanted to start here. To you, Senator Ratcliffe, paralegal extraordinaire, and every paralegal out there, my deepest apologies on behalf of all lawyers for never giving you enough credit. You make us all look very good. Without you, lawyers would be worse than we are already. Thank you to all paralegals who do incredible work every day to keep our wheels of justice turning. Seriously, thank you.
No, thank you. And on behalf of all paralegals, I will accept your appreciation.
Blanket apology and appreciation. Tell folks a little bit about yourself, Senator. Where is the 16th Senate District? What areas does it cover? And a little bit about your background.
Sure. So Senate District 16 is the east half of Dane County, the west half of Jefferson County, and two lovely towns in Dodge County. I live in the village of Cottage Grove and with my two kids who are age 16 and 20. And we have two little dogs, Ricky and Lucy, a toy poodle mix and a wiener dog mix.
Wait a minute. I have to butt in. I have a little wiener dog. Her name is Finny. I am obsessed with little wiener dogs. They're so sweet. No. What's your ween's name?
Lucy.
Well, yes. When we get together in person, I will bring Finny. You have to bring your two little doggies and they can have a little play date for sure. I'm sorry. I interrupted because I got all excited about the dogs.
I know. Wiener dogs are so amazing and so smart and adorable. And I will say, though, that our wiener dog mix is actually more of a meatloaf. And my daughter hates when I say that, but she's just so cute. So Yeah,
a little
more.
Wide body sausage.
Right, that's right.
They deserve love too.
That's
but
right.
So you're telling us a little bit about Senate District 16, and it covers a very diverse set of voters, does it not?
Yes. Yeah, it's definitely a lot larger in these new maps that were passed last session, or that the governor put forward. And it definitely expanded Senate District 16. There's a range of rural, urban, suburban areas, farms, and it's just I love my district. I think it really showcases so much of what Wisconsin is.
I love that. I am a big fan of Cottage Grove and that entire area of our state. I feel like I have worn a path in the highway between Milwaukee and Madison, being a native Milwaukee and having gone to law school at Madison. You ran for your Senate seat. This is your first term in the Senate on a number of core issues. Can you tell us a little bit about those?
Sure. Number one, abortion access is so important to so many people, and certainly an issue that is a priority for this session, to repeal the 1849 law that criminalizes abortion, to repeal that. Preventing gun violence, especially with the school shooting last
In December.
It's near to so many in my district, but also we need to do so much more in gun violence prevention. There was a bill put forward already this session, but it was so tiny and only a tiny step forward in what we need to do. And we need to start doing something, because doing nothing is not working.
Yeah,
right?
Thoughts and prayers aren't quite getting it done.
No, exactly. Another priority for this session would be childcare, making it more accessible and affordable, because the childcare workers are the workforce behind our workforce. There are so many childcare deserts throughout our state, so many people that want to work but need to take care of their kids as well. When my two kiddos, when they needed to go to childcare, my husband and I had to make the decision of whether he would stay home and take care of the kids, or if basically his paycheck would go to pay for childcare, which ultimately we decided to do that for a year while they were both in childcare at the same time, because then he would continue to keep his benefits and health insurance, right, and 401k and all of that. And I know that's not always something that other families can do, but we were doing that 16, 20 years ago, and it's only worsened since then. It's become a crisis. So we really need to work on something to help our childcare workers and families and kids.
Can you tell me what you call, you used a phrase to describe childcare workers, Senator. And what was it? Tell me that again, because I'm going to use it. I'll give you due credit as well.
Well, they are the workforce behind the workforce.
Yes.
They really are. They allow families, parents to go to work while and know that their kids are being taken care of.
Yeah, so critical. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you for bringing light to all of these things. I often ask my pro-choice friends of mine, pro-life friends of mine, hey, what about that childcare thing? You know, after the kids are here, are we caring for them here? Are we caring for the families so that they can, again, raise their children in dignity and safety and achieve the things that they would want? I did want to spend a little bit of time with you, Madam Senator, talking about some fun things. I know you are a football fan and you are very much looking forward to the Super Bowl this weekend. Are you going to drop the bomb? Are we going to make a whole bunch of news here? I want to know, Chiefs or the Eagles, Madam Senator?
Well, I just want to preface this with, I was born in Green Bay, so I am a true Packer fan. All right. So the Chiefs and the Eagles being in the Super Bowl is not necessarily ideal
Your favorite,
for a Packer
yes.
fan, right? The Chiefs, this would be their third time. If they were to win, it would be three in a row, which as
historic.
A Packer fan, Like, no, Packers need to stay on top with that one, with our two in the row, the very first two, right? Yep. And if you talk about the Super Bowl, the very first team that we beat in the Super Bowl was the Chiefs. So there's that. But then the Eagles, right? Like, we have this history with the Eagles that is very frustrating, that they had that 4th and 26 that they went to beat us by and go on. So, but I'm going to say I'm rooting for the Eagles. I'm going to let bygones be bygones and move ahead and go Eagles.
Yeah, indeed, Senator. I have the same take on this game, mostly because I feel such an affinity to Philly fans and the city of Philadelphia writ large, right? Manufacturing, industrial hub, a city that I think sometimes gets a tough rap. I just feel a lot of kismet with Philly fans. So I'm going to be rooting for the Eagles this weekend myself. I also wanted to ask you or your husband, if he tends to be the chef in your house, when you host a football party, do you or your husband, whoever does the cooking most of the time in your house, do you have a favorite recipe, and what is your favorite thing to eat when you are watching some football?
Well, I am definitely the cook. I now have an ex-husband, so he's not there. Yeah.
Well, so. Good for you. You're definitely doing the cooking then.
That's right. Somebody's got to. But chicken wings are my go-to for football games for sure.
Now, definitely. Do you make them at home? Do you roast them or do you bake them? Do you have an air fryer, which apparently is all the rage? I have to get me one of those.
Right. No air fryer. I like actually the frozen kind that you stick in the.
You hit the easy button. I am all for the easy button, as any working mom would be, right?
I
have to tell you and share with, of course, all of our listeners, I talk about food a lot on the show. It's a thing. I am a foodie and a home chef. My favorite thing to make for a football game, and I will put it up against basically anybody's, is I make a hell of a buffalo chicken dip, like really good. I have both front heat on it and back heat on it. And of course, it comes with all the fixings, the blue cheese crumbles on the side in case people are conscientious, blue cheese objectors, that's okay too. So I get everybody covered. Before we run out of time, Senator, I just wanted to ask you, what message would you like to send to Wisconsin voters as we approach this very critical next Supreme Court election?
Right. Well, certainly we need to all get out and vote. That's so important, as we've seen over the years, right? Like, your voice matters and who you elect matters. So definitely voting is so important. I guess just make sure that you research the candidates and do your homework and check myvote.gov.
That
gives you all the information needed to vote. And I'm a big proponent of voters.
Yes.
We need to make it easier to vote.
We can always talk
my vote.
About the
myvote.wi.gov.
There
thank
it
you.
Is.
Thank
everybody.
You. Yes,
thank
I've
you,
been
Aaron
out of it
Zahar.
Too. Awesome. Myvote.wi.gov for those on the radio. Yes.
Make sure that you are registered. You can check out your ballots at myvote.wi.gov. See all the elections that you will see on your primary ballot, which is coming up on February 18th, the general election on April 1st. Please mark your calendars. I know you have a very busy day today, Senator, and have a meeting that you have to scoot off to. So my big thanks to you. Can't wait to talk with you again. We might talk about some other favorite recipes and how to hit the easy button and make it a little bit less stressful every day for working parents like yourself. Again, thank you, Senator. Folks, keep it locked. My name is Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We got Over the Hump and Trump coming up. I'm going to get it all set up for you when we come back. This is how we maintain our energy with some distractions as well. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more in just a moment.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. In 2018, Utah voters approved a ballot initiative establishing an independent redistricting commission to create fair voting districts. The legislature neutralized it and gerrymandered the maps anyway. It's now back before a Utah judge. Better Boundaries Proposition 4 established a commission independent from the legislature charged with creating fair communities of interest-driven maps for Congress, state legislature, and school districts. The Utah News-Dispatch reports that in 2020, the Utah legislature passed SB 200, which made the commission advisory, not independent, then gerrymandered the maps to protect seats and consolidate GOP power. The Utah Supreme Court found for the voters last July, agreeing that the legislature did not have the authority under state law to override the voters' decision. In response, the legislature proposed Amendment D, which, if approved by voters, would give the legislature power to do so. The language of that proposition was deemed deceptive by the court and ruled void. Now the case is back in Utah's 3rd District Court, where Judge Diana Gibson heard 3 hours of testimony January 31st. The League of Women Voters and Mormon Women for Ethical Government argued that the Independent Commission's powers should be fully restored and fair congressional maps put in place. A decision is expected within weeks. We have links to local reporting and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Baby, can't you see I'm calling? What is up, everybody? How you doing? I hope your week is going well. It is Wednesday, hump day. We got a great segment coming up for you. We call it Over the Hump and Trump. You can find it here every Wednesday at 3:30. We take a little break from the politics. Sometimes there's a tie back because, you know, I like to do those things. It's all of a piece, as I like to say. So we got that coming up for you at 3:30. Also wanted to give you some updates. The protests, the 50-state, 50 protests all happening today. There are still people marching in Madison. So if you're at home listening to Civic Media, take us with you on your phone by downloading the Civic Media app and get out there and get engaged with those folks that are marching around the Capitol. Make your voice heard. But don't forget, the most important way to do that every election cycle is to vote. You can check that out by going to myvote.wi.gov. My thanks to State Senator Melissa Ratcliffe, State Senate District 16. Can't wait to talk with her again. We both have picked or prefer the Eagles, but Aaron, my fabulous producer today, that doesn't mean that the Eagles are going to win. Sadly, though, I wish the Eagles would prevail. I actually, if I had to place a bet, I would probably be picking the Chiefs. Do you have a favorite? And is your favorite to win this weekend, Aaron, also the team that you prefer to win?
Yeah, it's not. No, I'm with you where my heart wants the Chiefs to win, but my heart wants the Eagles to win.
Eagles to win.
But my brain says the Chiefs are probably going to again.
Yeah, I think so too. It's not my favorite. Wish there was maybe a different outcome. Now, are you going to watch it, Mr. Sommers?
Yes, I do plan on watching it. Maybe make some snacks. Not sure what we'll make. I know last time I made snacks for friends, I did some spinach and artichoke stuffed mushrooms, and those were pretty good. So I might make those again.
Ooh, you've given me an idea. I will love me some stuffed mushrooms. I am all about the fungi. You certainly are a fun guy that apparently also can make some fungi very well, Aaron. I definitely am all about the stuffed mushroom. In fact, one of my most favorite recipes, it's an old Ina Garten throwback. Yes, the Barefoot Contessa. It's got like a mascarpone cheese and Italian sausage and a bunch of herbs. Oh my goodness. Yeah, not fat free, folks. Not fat free at all. I think you have inspired me. I might skip the buffalo chicken dip and go straight up with the Italian sausage stuffed mushrooms for this weekend's festivities.
Well, why not both?
Well, because frankly, I can only tolerate cooking for so long unless it is like a big hosting thing. But if it's just for me and a couple friends, it's like I'm doing one thing and then we're ordering pizzas. I just don't want to be stuck in the gosh darn kitchen the whole time. You know what I mean?
That is, but again, totally fair.
Right. You may be right, because a good buffalo chicken dip I can do in the crock pot and just set it and forget it. So maybe that will be my tactic this weekend. Dave from New Berlin chiming in on the text line. You can, too, at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. He agrees the Eagles are going to lose. He also says this. I'm not a chicken wing guy. What the heck is the point of chicken wings? They're like sliders. Dave, that is certainly a perspective. Listen, I'll eat some wings, but in general, I think they're far too labor intensive for the amount of protein that you get off of them. It's sort of like ribs, like a lot of mess, a lot of fuss. Where's the beef? If you want to harken back to the 80s, I like my food a little bit more efficient. I am an economist after all. Some additional breaking news. My buddy Cam in Appleton, always on the text line. I see you, Cam. I appreciate it. He reminded me or let me know that Mark Pocan had introduced a bill today called the Elon Musk bill, trying to address Musk musking around in our federal government, despite the fact that he was elected to nothing, appointed to nothing, confirmed by no one, and basically has no claim to be doing anything in government except that he's got lots of stinking money, which, again, I thought being wealthy and using your money to control government was sort of the opposite of democracies, but maybe I got that confused somewhere. Cam is telling me further that in response to Representative Pocan's bill, the FBI has told him there's nothing to see here. And this is before Kash Patel is confirmed, Aaron. I mean, what the heck? Bit of a problem I see here. Thank you to Cam for keeping us and you up to date. And Dave from New Berlin chiming in that he is down for the stuffed mushrooms. Dave, maybe you'll be showing up at my party and I will have to make both the stuffed mushrooms and the buffalo chicken dip. I love it. Mark from Prairie du Sac also chiming in on the text line. You can too, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. He says this, the only reason to want the Chiefs to win is that it might annoy Trump because of the Taylor Swift connection.
That is a good point.
You got that one exactly right. I love giving me a little silver lining on my otherwise dark and dreary Chiefs win cloud, Mark. I appreciate it. Sue from Franklin said, we started with having two friends over for the Super Bowl, and now it's up to 20, I think. She got that from her mom. The everybody is invited. Just come on over. It's the Wisconsin way, Sue. I love it when a small little intimate gathering blows up into a huge gaggle of friends, family, and football fans. I hope each and every one of you have an amazing football Sunday. We'll probably talk a little bit more about that later this week. But what we got coming up, y'all, is Over the Hump and Trump. It is a very special time of year. We're going to talk about it, talk about some of our travels abroad between Aaron Zommers and I. Aaron, what's the most exotic place that you've been to in your life?
Probably, it's not that exotic, but probably London. At least that's the farthest away I've been.
I haven't been
to that many states, haven't been to that many countries, but I did get to go to London and a little bit outside that in England and see Stonehenge. That was pretty cool.
Stonehenge is trippy. When I took a look at it with my two eyes, I was like, okay, we clearly do not have all of this figured out for real, though.
It is different seeing it in person. And also a lot of conspiracy theorists there. That part's just funny. Like people with tinfoil hats taking pictures. One of my friends photobombed them. So they have a big group photo of the people in tinfoil hats. And my friend Colin is just standing there with his hands in his pockets.
I love it. Do you mean they literally had on tinfoil hats?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. The struggle is real, especially if you walk around with a tinfoil hat. We're going to take care of a little bit of business here. You got the farm update with the fabulous Pam Yonke coming up. Then I'll be back with today's edition of Over the Hump and Trump. We take you to foreign lands today in a celebration of the Lunar New Year. Keep it locked. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
Where's the beef?
News from the center, WRCE. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
1 month after a new Congress was sworn in and 2 weeks after a new president was inaugurated, our nation's capital is already buzzing with a number of important happenings. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report. And American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall says the top of everyone's minds is the tariffs on Mexico, Canada, and China.
This caused concerns among our members that these tariffs would drive up price of important supplies and that retaliatory tariffs would hurt agriculture. However, we're encouraged that President Trump was able to work out an agreement with Mexico and Canada to pause the tariffs for 30 days. We hope that all sides will be able to resolve these disputes, avoid costly trade disruptions, and keep international markets accessible while ensuring a stable food supply here at home.
Once again, that's the American Farm Bureau Federation President Zippy Duvall along with us. I'll have a look at your closing markets right after this. If you milk with robots, you know that cow flow is everything. Cow Corner Consulting helps you maximize cow flow by working with your team to improve your barn workflows, your feed management, and your system settings. Visit cow-corner.co to learn how. Cow Corner is an independent consulting company and works with all brands of robots. They're ready to go to work for you. Sign up for the free e-newsletter or contact John Gerbitz at cow-corner.co.
Come on along. We're headed to the Canadian Rockies. I'm Pam Yonke, inviting you to join me July 26th through August 4th. We'll begin at Calgary's Living History Museum. Then it's off to Banff for a guided tour. Next, we board a Via Rail train for phenomenal views of the Canadian Rockies. Off to Vancouver for award-winning wines at Lulu Island Winery. Then we ferry to Vancouver Island to visit a bison ranch and a dairy farm. Go to holidayvacations.com, enter keyword PAM to get a brochure or watch a travel show.
I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report with a look at your closing markets. Cash corn closed at 4.93 and a quarter, down 1.25 cents. New crop corn closed at 4.68 and a half, up a half. Cash beans closed at 10.57, that was down 18 cents. And November beans closed at 10.62 and a half, and that was down 11 cents. Cash wheat closed at 5.72 and a quarter, that was down 4 3/4. And new crop wheat closed at 5.96 and 3/4, down 2.5 cents. On the dairy side of things, March Class 3 milk contract is trading at 20.01 a hundredweight. That is up 8 cents. And April Class 3 milk contract is trading at 19.65, down a penny. Barrel cheese closed at 180 and a half with no change. 40-pound block cheese closed at 186. That was down 4 cents. And the AA butter closed down 2 cents and closed at 241. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and warmer, with a few flurries flying around this afternoon and light snow ramping up this evening. It may mix with a little bit of freezing rain, creating some icy, slippery spots. And snow accumulations look like less than half an inch. Gone by the morning, we'll be battling a windy day tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 28 degrees.
Carmelo Anthony for the Bail Project.
Bad news, you've been arrested. Good news, you're innocent until proven guilty. If you can pay your bail, good news, you go home to wait your trial. If you can't, sorry, you go to jail to wait. But sure, you still presumed innocent. But since you can't afford bail, you've lost your freedom. That's not right. And that's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting the in-cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. T. Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome TV writer and executive producer of The Soup, K.P. Anderson, and comedian Ben Katzner drops by to discuss his upcoming show in Green Bay. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the sounds of the Peking Opera from Beijing. And this relates to today's very special edition of Over the Hump and Trump. Hello, everyone. Happy Hump Day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We go from, of course, talking about the most American of American events, the Super Bowl, and some of our favorite snack foods, including, you know, the sliders and the wings and the buffalo chicken dip and all these things. And we're going to take a little bit of a journey then, far, far across the globe to China, everybody, for this special episode of Over the Hump and Trump. You can find this segment every Wednesday at 3:30 right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. This segment is about finding ways that we can connect to one another, learn a little bit, expand our horizons. All of this kind of came from my New Year's intentions. I don't like to do resolutions because I never actually fulfill them. And then I walk around with a bunch of Irish, German, Catholic shame and guilt because I haven't accomplished my resolutions. So I like to do intentions. And my intentions this year were to create more, connect more, move more, play more, and rest more. I think I'm forgetting one. But in the spirit of this, connecting more, one of the things and one of my favorite ways to do that is through food. I talk about food all the time on this show. And so as part of today's episode, we want to talk about connecting with other cultures and people through food. And the reason that we began the episode with a little bit of those fascinating and ancient sounds from the Peking Opera is because it is the Lunar New Year. Everyone, if you weren't aware, the Lunar New Year began, this year on January 29th. And the Lunar New Year goes on for 16 days. It will end on February 12th. So we're right in the thick of it right now. So I wanted to observe the Lunar New Year and share with you a little bit of the Chinese New Year, which is one of the Lunar New Years that is celebrated. Now, I don't want to get this wrong, and I just want to take a very careful pause to give some intentionality. Many, many, many different cultures that use a lunar calendar celebrate the Lunar New Year, not just Chinese New Year or the Chinese Lunar New Year. So I just want to make that clear. But I have been to China. I asked my great producer today, Aaron Sommers, hey, where's a far, far away place that you've been or an exotic place? And he's been to London. We were talking about Stonehenge. Probably the furthest away place that I have ever been is China. And I wanted to share a little bit of that with all of you today here on Civic Media's Radio Network. And I actually got to go to the Peking Opera in Beijing.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It was so cool, Aaron. First of all, there's an incredible amount of facial makeup. It is very highly stylized. It uses all of these traditional instruments. It is intricate and so fascinating. And it usually tells stories of the old Chinese traditional stories. And in fact, if you are not aware, one of the stories that is told about why the Chinese New Year is what it is a legend about a beast called Nian. And to keep this dangerous beast away on the Lunar New Year day, people would use firecrackers and lanterns and red paper decorations. So that's part of why you see all of this when you have the celebration of the Chinese New Year. Now, this has been going on for, some say, 4,000 plus years in China, which is really amazing. And I wanted to share with you and give all of you the opportunity to share some of your favorite Asian food dishes, because I'm going to share some of the amazing things that I got to eat when I was in China that kind of blew my mind. I mean, I had had Chinese food here in the United States, but it's a little different when you are in Beijing and Shanghai. And I wanted to share a few of my experiences with you. Again, all of this about being over the hump and Trump, it being hump day and us all needing to turn away from politics a bit. Even if you are a Trump supporter, we need some relief and we need to connect. So I wanted to tell you a couple of very specific stories about my time in China. I was very lucky enough to go there for my job when I was still an attorney in private practice. And it took me to both Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong. So it was really three of the largest cities in Asia, in the east part of Asia. And here was two of my most memorable moments. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about the food. I, of course, wanted to see the Great Wall of China when I was there. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Now, I was there, I began my time there during the Lunar New Year, so it was cool. I got to see the tail end of some of the Chinese New Year celebrations, and I was there through, I think, about like the end of March-ish, something like that. It was a few years ago, so I don't exactly remember how many months I was there, but it was freaking cold when I was in Beijing. And so there weren't a lot of tourists around. So when I went to the Great Wall of China, there's, if I'm recalling correctly, there are basically like five levels where you see the like towers sort of as part of the wall as you go up. And then it is these main sections of wall. And so I wanted to get, quote, to the top of the wall, which is, you know, some people use a Stairmaster. I got my workout that day from the Great Freaking Wall of China. But there was almost no one on the wall that day. Very few tourists because it was cold. And I ended up having to peel off layers of clothes as I walked up all of these stairs because you were it's a decent workout. And the stairs are ancient and uneven and worn in places. It was just amazing. And I had these really surreal moments where for the entire length of the wall in front of me and the entire length of the wall that I could see behind me, I was the only person on the wall. And it was an overcast day with a lot of low-hanging clouds. And it was just absolutely stunning to walk on this feat of human ingenuity. But the most memorable part of that trip to experience the Great Wall, I actually had on my way down. I passed a group of three people. It looked like a mom and a dad and their kid. Chinese folks, perhaps like us, going to Washington, D.C. to visit our nation's capital. Maybe not from Beijing, but they had come to see one of their nation's great artifacts. And as we passed each other, they stopped. I'm a little unusual in China. I'm quite tall. Back then, I had quite blonde hair. And they stopped and basically wanted to say hi and introduce themselves. And the kid especially, who was probably about 12 or 13 years old, was so excited to meet me. He wanted to give me a hug. And we stood there sort of hand gesturing to each other. And we took some photos together. And the dad, after we were done taking these photos with an actual camera, you know, before the selfie cell phone days, so we were actually sticking an arm out and then, you know, trading the camera around so we could all take photos of each other and together. The dad got out a little notebook and he wrote down his email address. He was the only one of the group that could write in a Latin alphabet. And he also wrote his name down in Chinese. And I then wrote my email down to him. And when I got done with my few months in China, I remember coming home. I was working a lot back then, 14 plus hour days, 6 days a week usually. And so I didn't check my personal email until I got back to the United States. And when I did, amongst the hundreds of emails that I had to go through, I found an email in Chinese characters. And I opened it up. And this was before Google Translate and all those things. And here were all of these amazing pictures of me and this Chinese family standing together with no one else around on the Great Wall of China. And though so many cultural differences and a complete language barrier, it is still a very visual reminder that we're all just people. We like to do a lot of the same things, and we like to do it often with other people. So it was quite an emotional memory for me, because it was so, again, surreal and yet so very human and tangible. The other memory I'll share with you was that, of course, I wanted to see the Imperial City and Tiananmen Square. I had won a geography bee, I think, when I was like in seventh grade. If you are old enough and of perhaps my ilk or a little earlier, a geography bee that included the question about the protests that occurred in the early to mid 80s and that epic photo of a protester placing a flower in the end of a tank standing in Tiananmen Square. So I had gone to Tiananmen Square to check it out. And because I had very little time because of all the work, which was why I was there, I had asked someone to be a tour guide so that they could tell me about these things, so I wasn't trying to read and get myself around and get lost, because I had to be really efficient with my time. So my tour guide and I basically got in a taxi and went there to Tiananmen Square. And she was explaining all of this to me. Now, recall again that I am a tall lady and I had on work clothes, so I was even taller because I had heels on and I had this long blonde hair at the time. And that day happened to be a sunshiny day, so I had these big old sunglasses on, which is kind of my jam. And with these big old sunglasses on and my long blonde hair and being super tall, and this lady explaining to me what I was looking at in Tiananmen Square, and the Imperial City is off to the other side, off of Tiananmen Square, a few Chinese folks came up wanting to take photos with the tall blonde lady, because that's a little unusual in Beijing. And within about 10 minutes, there was a crowd of about like 150 Chinese people with me and this tour guide and translator. And we were taking pictures with all of these folks in China. Again, it was this very kind of human moment. We were all having this experience together of me being a foreigner, a strange person in a strange land, a land new to me, but having this very funny exchange. I think a couple of them thought I was a famous person, took my sunglasses off. I'm like, no, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a dumb old lawyer doing some work here. But it was an incredible memory. Folks, if you want to share some of your thoughts on the best Chinese food you've ever eaten in our shared celebration of the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842, because boy, my friends, did I eat some absolutely mind-blowing food when I was in Beijing. My travels there for work took me again to Beijing, Shanghai, and finally Hong Kong, which I can only describe like this. If New York City was next to a mountain and had tropical weather, like that kind of gives you an idea. And I don't mean all of New York City. I just mean the borough of Manhattan. It kind of gives you an idea of the vibe in Hong Kong. It was an incredible, incredible place. And I want to share with you some of my very, very favorite dishes that I got to eat when I was in China, including one that if I have my way, I will never eat again. But in the spirit of expanding one's horizons, overcoming cultural biases, I have never snubbed my nose at any dish. I will try anything at least once. I'm going to share all of that with each and every one of you in today's edition of Over the Hump and Trump, which we do every Wednesday at 3:30 to give us a little break from all this. We're going to take some of your feedback and calls about your favorite Chinese food dishes, all in the celebration of the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn, your favorite lady lawyer, economist, and lover of all things foodie. You can find me here from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more of this edition of Over the Hump and Trump after these brief messages.
Yeah.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
Mark your calendars. The Pine River Sports Association Spring Gun Show is coming up on February 7th and 8th at the Richland Center Community Center. Join us Friday from 3 to 8 and Saturday 8 to 3 for this highly anticipated event featuring up to 70 tables of guns and related items. Enjoy concessions provided by the local Boy Scout troop while you browse. Admission is just $5. Kids 12 and under get in free with an adult. The Pine River Sports Association can't wait to see you February 7th and 8th at the PRSA Spring Gun Show. Don't miss it.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk. Drive sober. Or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Donald Trump is president again, and Democrats need to take a new approach to combat this presidency. Part of that is recognizing the realignment of how we arrived here. In last year's election, one thing Trump did successfully was turn out people who might not otherwise vote. In Wisconsin, he increased his vote share in all 72 counties en route to the largest popular vote total in state history. How did he do this? Well, as I see it, there are two factions of Republicans. One is the more traditional country club Republicans. The other is the newer group, what I'm calling the pro wrestling Republicans. In my latest column, I wrote about how Donald Trump transformed the party by prioritizing the pro-wrestling Republicans, and why recognizing this new reality is critical to Democrats' ability to grab a steel chair of their own and fight back. Subscribe and read it now at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back, everyone. Welcome if you're just joining us. My name is Maggie Dawn, host of this, The Maggie Dawn Show. You can find me here every Monday through Friday across the Civic Media Radio Network from 2 to 4 p.m. I got my great colleague, Todd Alba, has the fantastic program right before mine. And just another reminder, you should check out Todd's most recent piece of writing. He talks about why USAID is so personal to Todd. I read his piece today. It's fabulous. You can find it at Civic Media's website at civicmedia.us. You can also find it on the Recombobulation Area Substack if you subscribe to that. Of course, the creator of the Recombobulation Area, the Recombobulator in Chief, is none other than Civic Media's very own Dan Schaefer. Dan's with me every Tuesday for what we now call the State Slate with Dan Schaefer. For today's episode of Over the Hump and Trump, a segment that we do every Wednesday at 3:30, I've been talking about the Chinese New Year. We are in the middle of the Lunar New Year. Again, to be inclusive, there are lots of cultures across West Asia, East Asia, South Asia, India, some folks that practice Islam. And Judaism all follow a lunar calendar and have versions of a lunar new year. But right now, for especially the Chinese New Year, it is happening right now. We're moving from the year of the dragon into the year of the snake. I've got a couple of links to great resources for you about the Chinese New Year, about the horoscope that comes along with it. What the year of the snake may bring. We're going to put all of those in the show notes for you. You can come and see those show notes, read up, find those websites by going to Civic Media's website, civicmedia.us/shows. You can look up my show or wherever you get your podcasts from, specifically Apple Pods and Spotify. You can find the show notes there as well. We're going to put all those links in today's show notes. And we're talking about the Chinese New Year. I was very blessed, very lucky in my career as an attorney to have the opportunity to work in China. I had some once-in-a-lifetime experiences. I will never forget my time there. I was absolutely mesmerized by Chinese culture and history, the art and the food and the people. I could not believe how kind and welcoming the Chinese people were. And we forget these things, right? In the moments of all of this political discourse and the geopolitical reality that, you know, the president of China has an agenda that in some ways conflicts with American interests. But the people of China, first of all, they don't really have much choice over their government these days. You know what I'm saying? But the people of China, just like people everywhere, we always have these moments and points of connection. If you want to share a thought, a memory about China or about Chinese food, especially because I'm going to get to that in just a second, some of my favorite dishes that I got to sample when I lived in China for a few months, as well as one dish I hope to never have to encounter again. I will tell you about it in just a moment. But we got Rick on the line from Waukesha. Rick, welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show. What would you like to share this afternoon, sir?
Well, I got two things. I got a little puzzle and baseball and guess game. And I got a connection at the Costco McDonald's. I just talked to him last night. He's from China, a young man working there. And he goes home every summer to visit his parents. He's going to college, if he can do it. So he was just telling me about that last night while I was eating one of those $5 meals.
Well, listen, kudos for you, Rick, for reaching out and having those discussions. I wish for all of us that we had more of those kinds of discussions. So I appreciate you, Rick. So you, is this like a baseball trivia game?
Well, my father played Land O'Lakes baseball with some guys that turned down the pros when he was younger.
No kidding.
And I got a five chances, Margaret, to guess what position did he play?
That your dad played? Can I ask for some physical, some physical characteristics? Was your dad a tall guy?
Well, he was kind of short. I don't know, you know, 5 foot something.
Okay, so not a tall guy.
Very athletic.
Very athletic. All right. Given that he's short, my best guess, and because we don't have infinite time here, Rick, I'm going to go with shortstop. Was your dad a shortstop?
No, but you're close.
I'm close. Third baseman.
No.
Colder or warmer?
You're colder.
Second baseman.
No.
We only have three left then, Rick. Was he a pitcher, a first baseman, or a catcher?
He was a pitcher.
Oh, just like my dad.
And he was his best pitch was the curve.
Just like my dad, a southpaw finesse pitcher. Thanks for sharing your baseball memories with me, Rick. And folks, to close out today's episode of the Maggie Dawn Show, I'm going to share with you some of the most amazing things, and then the one thing I'm never going to ever, ever, ever eat again that I got to try when I was in China. There is not a dish that I will not try at least once. And I will have proved that to you by the end of this little segment here. I have to say the most, my favorite thing that I got to try when I was in Beijing and Shanghai, I had it in both places, was the Peking duck. It is sort of like the national dish of China. It was succulent and crispy skin. It was fabulous, blew me away. I ate my weight in dim sum a couple of times when I was there. Absolutely fabulous. But probably my number one most favorite thing that I ate in China, it was kind of an incredibly shared experience, was a hot pot, all kinds of varietals on that. But to close us out, the thing that I'll never eat again, and it is a real thing, are the river snails. That is never happening again. You can look it up. Not a thing for me. Folks, that's going to do it for me. Dom Salvia is up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together.
News from the Center, WRCE. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as Dan Schaefer joins us from the Recombobulation Area and Civic Media's political editor to talk about the changing times in the Republican world. Has professional wrestling taken over? We'll explain.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Matt Nair on air.
Dan Schaefer, Civic Media's political editor.
No court in the country came closer to overturning the 2020 election results than the conservative majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And we have Brad Schimmel, who's been siding with January 6th rioters. So if you want your vote to count going forward, show up and vote on April 1st. Let's channel that energy into the Wisconsin Supreme Court race.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump signed an executive order calling for a ban on transgender athletes in women's sports. He says it will deny federal funding to organizations who support it.
With this executive order, the war on women's sports is over.
The battle, though, will likely move to the courtroom with legal challenges expected. Members of Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency, or DOGE, have been working at the centers of Medicare and Medicaid services that, according to three people familiar with the matter, according to CMS, the federal agency provides health coverage to more than 160 million through Medicare, Medicaid, the Children's Health Insurance Program, and the Health Insurance Marketplace. The suspect in the deadly shooting in a manufacturing facility in Ohio taken into custody today. Authorities say he is an employee and was at the work site. One person was killed, the motive unclear. Winter advisories stretching from the Midwest to the East Coast. Officials say ice and snow will make driving treacherous. This is ABC News.